Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Welcome to church this morning. Today is week three of our series called Modern Romance, and if this is your first week of the series, or maybe this is your first week here ever at City Hope, you picked an awkward and super fun day to be here, but we're grateful, we're so honored that you decided to be here with us. Your presence matters. When we began City Hope, one area of discipleship that we believe God has asked us to focus on is healthy, God-centered families, and that's one of our core values here at City Hope and something that we take very, very, very serious. And I believe that if your family is healthy, if your family is healthy and you're seeking the Lord and you're focused on the Lord's calling in your life, then it makes everything better. It really does. It makes your house better. It makes your church better. It makes the world better when we have healthy, God-centered families. And the reality is this whole series, as we're talking about these things, I mean, it goes back to God's design, right? God's plan. Think about it like this. You know, God created one man and one woman to be married, to come together in a marriage relationship, right? And so, but it kind of starts a little bit before the man and woman come together in marriage, right? It starts with my vertical relationship with the Lord. That's where it shapes everything about me. Your vertical walk, your vertical relationship shapes your whole everything. All your relationships, your world, your work, everything. But then we move into the horizontal relationships, right? That horizontal relationship with our spouse and with our kids and with our friends and the rest of our family and our coworkers and our church, right? And if that's healthy, everything flows from that, if my horizontal relationships. But what we do is we kind of get in trouble because we start with the horizontal relationships instead of starting with the vertical relationship with the Lord. And so I think one of the keys to having a healthy, God-centered family, a healthy, God-centered marriage, is to make sure that my vertical relationship first is where it needs to be, and then I begin to work on the horizontal relationships. And so one of the reasons why I just felt led by the Lord to tackle this topic of sex is because I believe this plays a major factor in the horizontal relationships, in the fact that if we're going to have a healthy, God-centered family, sex plays a big part of that, all right? And so for those of you that are already uncomfortable and you're shaking and you need to, I just need to get this out of the way, okay? God is pro-sex, all right? God is pro-sex. He created it. Look what the Bible says, Deuteronomy 24. I love this verse. When a man takes a bride, he must not go out with the army or be liable for any duty. He is free to stay at home for 1 year so that he can bring joy to the wife he has married. Can we bring that back in 2025? Amen? For 1 year, we get to stay home and I get to make Shira happy? Like, praise God. But we have to have a proper view of sex. I think that's a really big deal. I read this story the other day. There was this traveler, this gentleman who traveled to different countries, and he was over in Africa, and he was visiting one of the tribes over in Africa, and he was sitting by the river. And as he was sitting by the river, he saw several of the people in the tribe around the river as well, and a crocodile comes up out of the water and snatches a man and takes him into the water. Well, obviously, the visitor, he starts freaking out, and he's screaming, and he's hollering, and he's looking. And nobody's moving. Nobody had any kind of reaction. And so he's like, what is going on? And so he asked one of the guides that were with him, and the guide told him, he said, in our culture, it is very rude and impolite to talk about the crocodiles. And then he was like, what? And he starts looking around and he starts noticing there's several people with missing limbs, there's missing arms, there's missing legs, there's missing hands and fingers. And he realized that these people have this crocodile problem that nobody is going to talk about. Now, I think that relates so well with the way our culture views sex. We have a problem with sex in our culture. And if nobody's going to talk about it, what's going to happen is people are just going to keep walking through pain. People are going to keep finding themselves, you know, missing limbs in their life. But as a church who serves Creator God, who created sex, who designed sex, we should probably be some of the loudest voices of what healthy, God-centered family should look like. And so that's my heart today. We should be the ones helping the world understand God's view on sex. And so what I want to do today is I'm going to give you three views of sex. I think that the Bible is pretty clear, and we'll give you a couple of views, but most likely you fall into one of these categories. And I want to encourage you today just to, as we get started, just ask the Lord to reveal some stuff from your heart. So let's do this. Let's just take a moment. Let's just bow our heads and pray. And as I pray, would you just ask the Lord to speak to your heart today? Father, I just come before you this morning, and Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for just places that we can go to, that we can have truth, that we can understand and gain knowledge of subjects like this that are sometimes awkward and hard to talk about. But God, just open up our hearts and our minds to what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at the three views of sex. Number one, the sex is a false god. Sex is a false god. This is for the most part how the world views sex. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says this. So don't worship false gods as some of them did, as scripture says. The people sat down to a feast which turned into an orgy. We shouldn't sin sexually as some of them did. 23,000 of them died in one day. So many times, or many people during this time, they worshiped demons. They had these false religions, these fake gods, these fake religions. And so what did God do? God started zapping people. 23,000 of them died in one day. And what Paul is, the author here, is doing, he's making this connection between sexuality and spirituality. See, the world tries to separate these two things, right? Oh, it's just sex. It's just your body. It has nothing to do with your soul. It has nothing to do with your emotions, your spirituality. And it tries to disconnect sex from everything else. But we are a body that contains a soul, right? And so we see sexuality and spirituality are deeply, deeply connected. Think about it like this. Churches all over the world have different denominations, right? We have Baptists, and we have Catholic, and we have Presbyterian, and we have all different kinds of denominations. But the reality is, sex is one of the biggest religions in the world. There's so many people that view sex as this false god, and there's these different types of denominations, right? We have different letters, the L and the G and the B and the T and the Q, and it goes on, right? These are different denominations, because what is happening is they're worshiping the created over the creator. We're worshiping the created. Our bodies do what you want, whatever feels good. If you want to handle, you know, if you want to do that. And what happens is it becomes a dominating aspect of who we are. And so our identities get wrapped up into this. But remember what Paul says to the Romans in Romans chapter 12? He says, present your bodies as what? Living sacrifices. As living sacrifices, which is your spiritual worship. Worship is what you do with your body. Worship is what you do with your body. If you ever watch a show on a cult or some, you know, false religion or something, you ever see in there where the outcome of it is like this illicit sex or just this sacrifice and just kind of sinful sex is part of what these cults and these things do, right? Because what you do with your body is not just physical. It's deeply spiritual. It's deeply spiritual. And you're offering your body as a sacrifice either to the glory of God or to a false god. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to dig in here for a second. Because it's probably pretty easy for most of us to look at other denominations and point out their false gods, right? We can point fingers at people who don't think like us or believe like us, and we can say, yeah, you need to tighten that up. You need to not believe that. But what about us? Do you know what pornography is? It's a false god. Do you know what fornication is? It's a false god. Do you know what adultery is? It's a false god. And if you're worshiping a false god, again, you're worshiping the created rather than the creator. And when we do that, what happens? We begin to pervert what God created when we worship the created over the creator. Now, let's really get real here for just a minute. Some of this may come as a shock to you. But what does it look like when sex becomes a false god? What does that really, really look like? Let's really break this down. In 2023, estimates for the global porn industry range from $58 billion to $287 billion in revenue. I think we have a false god problem. To put that into a little bit of perspective, you take professional basketball, professional baseball, professional football, you take all the money that their revenue is, and the pornography industry is bigger than all three of them put together. Every single day, over 3 million emails, pornographic emails, are sent. The average age of the first porn internet observation is 11 years old. The number one consumer of online pornography, 12 to 17-year-old boys. For those of you parents in here who have middle schoolers and you're wondering, man, when should we have this talk? When should we have this talk? Let me just give you some wisdom. About 2 years ago, you should have had that talk. Our world hasn't just lost its mind. It worships a false god. And this idolatry here, there's a really, really dark side to this. Really dark side to this. And it doesn't just stop at watching and looking. Some of you understand where I'm about to go. This leads to what? Massive sexual abuse. This false god that is being worshiped and bowed down to. 1 in 4 women today are said to be sexually assaulted. Sex trafficking, which is sex slavery across our nation. Major cities all across our nation are these trafficking centers for teenage girls who are slaves. Because what happens when you worship sex as God? What happens? Sacrifices have to be made. And so every time that someone turns on pornography, every time that something, do you realize you're contributing to the supply and demand of sex? Because our world needs more, they want more. We're contributing to the fact that our world sees sex as a false god. And every time we watch something that we're not supposed to, we're contributing to that fact. I wonder today if you truly, truly, truly were honest in your heart, is that your view of sex? Now, the overreaction to this, the opposite of this, is the second view of sex, is sex is filthy and gross. So here's, let me put that in a little bit of context. Here's kind of the perspective. If the world sees sex as a false god and treats it like it does, then we, the church, we should be the opposite, right? We gotta have the opposite view. If they celebrate it and worship it and sacrifice to it, then we have to be against it. So sex has to be filthy and gross. Let me read you a couple passages here. Titus 1:15. To the pure, everything is pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. In fact, both their mind and their conscience are defiled. In other words, here's what the author's saying. Things in and of themselves aren't clean or dirty. People are. Things in and of themselves aren't wicked or good. People are. So let's take sex. If you're obeying God, pure. If you're disobeying God, then it's dirty. But Christians, the church, have had a really hard time historically of seeing sex as passion and pleasure and a good thing. And here's what I've seen the church do, right? We shy away. We say, sex is bad and sex is immoral and sex is gross, so save it for your husband, right? like we try to make it this awful, awful thing as dirty and gross. And really, I think we can kind of break this category down into a couple of groups that have this perspective as sex as filthy. One group, and I don't know where you fall into this today, but one group is those who are sinners. You've done things you shouldn't have done. You've seen things you shouldn't have seen. You can't get over the fact that you made bad choices. You know what the Bible says about sex. You feel really bad about it, but the guilt and the shame have shaped your view of sex. And so now it's an ugly thing. It's a gross thing. It's dirty. I can't give myself over to this. But here's what you need to know. That there's a God and his name is Jesus. And you need to know that he lived a perfect life without any sin. He went to the cross to die in your place. He rose to conquer the grave. And he sent his spirit to give us new life. Jesus forgives our sins. And he allows us sinners to forgive each other. And so if you have some guilt and some shame around this topic, give it to Jesus and receive forgiveness. Because viewing sex as filthy and gross is not from God. Another group who may view sex as filthy and gross is not just those of us who have sinned, but maybe those who have been sinned against. You've been a victim. Someone's done something to you. You've been abused. You've been traumatized. You've been taken advantage. And so for you, sex is gross. Sex is. And I want you to hear this message today. I want you to understand what God speaks about. Not only does God forgive, but God's word says this. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Think about that for a second. It's not just the unrighteousness caused by me and my bad decisions. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You're not dirty. You're clean in Christ. You're not who you were. You're not who the world maybe declares you to be. You're who God declares you to be. You're forgiven, you're loved, you're adopted, you're given a new name, a fresh start. You're given power by the Holy Spirit. So we see sex as a false god, sex as filthy and gross. And then here's where we're going to just spend a few minutes. What we do see in God's word is sex as a fantastic gift. You see, when we get married, what we do is we bring all of our mess into a marriage. We bring all of our baggage, all of the things, all of our views, all of our, you know, bad decisions we've made or people have made against us. We put all those things together and we get to this place. And the goal is to get to this place to see sex as beautiful and wonderful and fantastic gift from God to his children. And I think the Bible is full of messages that God wants married couples to know that sex is a gift to them. And listen, God does not give gifts to people so they won't enjoy them, right? He gives gifts to people. He wants you to enjoy it in the way that it was designed to be enjoyed, which will ultimately lead to your satisfaction, which will ultimately lead to understanding that I'm not just satisfied with the gift, but man, I'm thankful for the giver as well. What are some of the gifts that God gives us in this? First one is the gift of oneness. The gift of oneness. You see, it started perfect in the beginning. Go back to Genesis, right? This is why a man leaves his father and his mother and he bonds with his wife. They become one flesh. Look at this. Both the man and his wife were naked. Or you could say naked if you're from like West Virginia or something. Both the man and his wife were naked. Yet they felt no shame. A husband and a wife who are intimate in a covenant relationship come together as one. This is something that is truly covenantal. This is something that is truly emotional, something that is true physically, right? And think about it. This is why when you come together and you get married, you have one last name and you live in one house and you have one bedroom and you have one bed. You should be one in one flesh. You get the gift of oneness. It's a great gift from a great Savior. Number two, the second gift of sex is the gift of pleasure. The gift of pleasure. I don't have time to read it. And you might want to read this, parents, without the kids in the room, but go read the book Song of Solomon, all right? Read the whole book. Read through it. It's all about a married couple having pleasure in one another, enjoying it, and having fun. You come together in God's design, and there's no shame. Your conscience is clear. And pleasure is this gift. And some of you, even enjoying these things with your spouse, you feel guilty about them. You feel gross because, oh, how can that be holy? And you know, the Bible talks a lot about transforming our mind. And we need to see sex as a gift of pleasure. Another passage that shows that God's gift of pleasure, guys in the room, you're going to want to write this one down, okay? I promise you. Proverbs chapter 5, look at this. Let your fountain be blessed and take pleasure in the wife of your youth. A loving deer, a graceful doe, let her breast always satisfy you. Be lost in her love forever. That doesn't sound really prim and proper, right? We can't talk about this in church. But this is God's gift to married couples. It's a good gift from a great Savior. The third gift that we see is the gift of procreation. The gift of procreation. Genesis 1, God blessed them and God said to them, what did he say? Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. The gift of sex can be for children. Children are wonderful. It doesn't always have to be for procreation, but at the moment of intimacy, God allows children to be born. We have three kids, and most of the time, they're a blessing, right? Most of the time, unless we're in trying to experience this gift. Then they start knocking on the doors and stuff, and it gets weird, right? But it's this gift that God gives us for procreation. You guys who have kids, you understand that? When that child is born, when you see this amazing, amazing science and biology and all of it that just comes together, and then there's another human being sitting in front of you, it's a gift from God. Then the last gift that we see is the gift of knowing and being known. Genesis 4, go back to Adam and Eve again. The Bible says, Adam laid with his wife Eve and he knew her. There's a knowledge. There's an intimacy. There's a trust built with a husband and wife that is sacred. That is meant to bring oneness, that is meant to bring knowing who I am and being known, and you trust and you know and you love and you enjoy one another in a way that nobody else knows you. So what's your view of sex? What's your view of sex? If you're one that sits here today and you're struggling with this idea of this practical living of pornography, then right now in your life, you're viewing sex as a false god. Is that you? Go online. Like, there's so many staggering statistics that our world has turned sex into this false god. It'll kind of make you sick. But maybe this morning you find yourself there, and the reality is you want it to not be your view, but your actions show that that is your view. That's your leaning. And I just want to encourage you today, repent of that sin. Repent of that. Turn away from that. You can get away from that addiction. You can walk into getting a new view of sex. Maybe your view of sex is filthy and gross. And it's because of your past. It's something that you chose to do, something that someone chose to do towards you. But that's not from God. That is not from God. Maybe today you need to turn away from that. I pray that we can all get to this point where we view sex as a gift from God to be shared in a marriage relationship only. It's truly a gift of God. It's the gift of oneness. It's the gift of pleasure. It's the gift of knowing and being known. It's the gift of procreation. It is a gift from God to be used in the way that he designed it to be. And so let me just encourage you today. Get real with the Lord and understand what your view is. We all want our view to be probably that last one, but what is it truly? What do my actions say? And I believe that if we can get the correct view of this topic, then we're on our way to being a healthy, God-centered family. It's a really, really, really big deal. Would you pray with me? Father, I love you. I'm so thankful for your word, even on awkward topics. Lord, your word is so full of truth. It's so full of opportunities for us to grow. And I pray, God, that those of us in here who maybe have a false view of sex or an unhealthy view of sex, Lord, I pray that we would start with getting our vertical relationship with you in the right place. And Lord, if there's some here that are battling this view of sex as a false god, Lord, would you convict us? Would you give us accountability? Would you give us brothers and sisters in our lives to help us walk through getting the correct view? But first and foremost, Lord, help us to just take that step of admitting that we have the wrong view. And God, I pray that those married couples in this room, God, we would experience your design in such a healthy and spirit-filled and just in a way that we've never experienced before. We're truly living in the way that you designed for us. Lord, I pray for those in the room who are not yet married. God, would you give them the proper view of sex and help them to maybe not make those hard decisions or wrong decisions as they grow and wait for the person that you have designed them to be with. And Lord, any unhealthiness, any false views of sex, Lord, would you just show us, point those out to us so that we may get the proper view of this gift that you've given us. Lord, we love you. We're so, so, so grateful for who you are, that we can come to you with all things. Even the things that we may be hiding in the dark, your word says you forgive us, you cleanse us. Lord, may we be cleansed by your righteousness, by your blood. Wash over us, oh Father, so that we may experience you in new and healthy ways. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.